praying over this mom yesterday. I told her, I said, if you have to, put headphones in at night as you are going to bed. And let this, and let the Lord bless you and keep you. Just let him speak the word over you, right? Like, we have no reason. We have it in the airwaves. We have it at our disposal at all times. So mamas, it is your weapon. It is your weapon. So get in the word so it just pours out to your babies and to your husband and to your family. So if you need to, Biblia.com, that's the man that will speak to you. So if you are getting ready in the morning and you just need it to be had a morning, just let the Biblia.com guy speak to you and he will just read the word over you. So it's our weapon. So let's pray and then we'll hopefully just believe that this is going to get started. So God, we just thank you, Lord. God, we just declare and decree that your goodness is running after us. Your goodness is running after us. God, we will declare and decree the goodness of the Lord. God, that as the psalmist said, we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God, I know it's crazy, and some people are like, why are you speaking that? Because you don't know what God needs to do. God, because your word gives us authority to speak the word. Your goodness, we will see the goodness of the Lord. God, we will stand and see that you're fighting for us. God, we will stand and see that you will part the Red Sea. We may be toes dangling in the sea. We may have the chariots on our heels. But God, at the time that you have appointed, it will part. God, we trust you. We trust you, Lord. This morning, God, we just praise you, God, that you are ruling and reigning over this sanctuary. God, I pray you would hover heavily, that the presence and the power of the Lord would go forth in this building and through the airwaves. God, I just pray you would ruin some mamas for normal. Would you ruin us, God? Would you give us a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, God? God, would you fill us? God, would you give us the living water today? God, we're thirsty. We're thirsty, Jesus. God, we're around thirsty people. Our children are thirsty, God. So would you allow us in this next hour to drink of the living water that was prophesied over this ministry several years ago, that this prophetic lady said that she saw a circle. She had never seen Sanctuary Church, but she saw something round, and there were billows of water flowing off of this stage. So God, would you perfect your word today? Would you honor that word today? Would you let us drink from that water that comes forth out of you, God? Man, God, I don't want to drink of man's words. We get enough of man's opinions and man's thoughts and man's voices. God, we need the living water that will continue to make us thirst for more. So Jesus, would you fill us today, but make us thirsty tomorrow. Fill us right now, God, with the billows of living water. And Jesus, we just speak to that live stream that it will work. It will work. And that nothing will thwart the word of God from going out. Bless your messenger today. Speak. Speak, Jesus. As Samuel said, your servant's listening. Attune our ears to what you have to tell us. We want to hear from you in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right, you may be seated. I am honored today. I'm going to not be teaching the word this morning. I'm honored to sit and soak and listen to a dear friend of mine, Janice. Many of you have heard Janice. She was on last session, Our Purpose. She and I were on a live stream. Her husband is the youth pastor here. Janice and Troy, phenomenal family. We love them. Janice happens to be my Sydney's mentor. Man, guys, get wise women to speak into your children's life. I've got one right here. She has been speaking into Sydney's life for many, many years. And God is just really just refining and defining this teaching ministry in her. And anytime I can get her to come and share the word, I'm like, Janice, you won't come and share the word. So today you're going to be blessed by my sweet, precious friend, Janice. And we're going to have even a little bit of worship after. So you're going to be really excited. So would you please welcome Janice Gambrell to the stage?
Hey guys, well, I'm very excited this morning because the Lord has made his call to me and his charge to me very clear for this morning. And so it actually comes from the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's the same charge that Paul gave to Timothy. And so I'm just going to go ahead and read it for you. Chapter 4, verse 1, it says, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. Preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. And so the Father has made it very clear to me this morning that his charge for me is to do three things. First and foremost, to preach the gospel. We're going to be in the book of Romans chapter 6, and we're going to study it together. Secondly, he's charged me to correct what I believe is a false thought process or belief that a lot of us, myself included, have adopted and are living by that actually does not line up with the scripture, that does not line up with the word of God. And lastly, I believe he's called me just to encourage you by sharing some of my own transformation journey with you in hopes that you see his faithfulness and his goodness in my life, and it will encourage you for his faithfulness and his goodness in your life. So today we're going to be, like I said, in the book of Romans. If you guys have your Bibles, would you go ahead and get it out? If you don't, I would encourage you. I put two baskets of Bibles on either side right here. If you would just raise your hand, because I would love for you to have, scripture in your hand. I know it's easy to use our phones, but I just think it's very important and it's very special to be tangibly holding the Word of God as we study together, because that's what we're doing. We're studying together. So just raise your hand real quick if you don't have one. And I'm going to be reading Romans chapter 6 from the New Living Translation. Okay, so before we dive into the word, as you all know, the theme of this session is liberated. And I believe the Lord has called me here today to share with you, like I said, a thought process or a belief that we've adopted that does not line up with the Word of God. And I believe that once we read Romans chapter 6, he's going to use his text to illuminate and to show us where our false thinking is. And like Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, when he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I believe through through the text today, the Lord is going to renew our mind, and he's going to allow us to see our sin through a correct lens, through the lens of the Word of God, not through the lens of maybe some ideas we've heard or through the lens of what we feel. But I strongly believe through Romans chapter 6, he's going to allow us to see our sin and our struggle with sin according to his word. Have you ever heard it said, or maybe you've said it yourself, I've said this before, I'm on a journey to freedom, or I'm walking towards freedom? Well, I want to encourage you today, like we're going to read a minute in Romans 6, if you have accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you have invited him in, if you have asked for forgiveness, if you have confessed your sin, if you've surrendered your life to him, you are not on a journey to freedom. You are free. You have been set free. There's no journey towards it. If you are a believer, if you are following, you are free on a journey of sanctification. You are free on a journey of transformation. You are not on a journey towards freedom. That's a wrong thought process. And I believe if that's our thinking, it sets us up to fail in a lot of ways. Because if we don't believe that we're actually free, we're fighting sin in that posture. We're fighting sin, or the Spirit's fighting sin in us in a way that's very defeating. Really, it's very defeating. If we feel like we're up against something that we don't actually have yet, this freedom that we do have, that we are free, if we're fighting sin in that posture, it's defeating, it can be discouraging, and it's exhausting. But when we're fighting sin in the posture of, no, I'm free. I'm free. I'm being transformed. I'm being sanctified, but I'm free. This sin no longer has control over me. We believe the sin still has control over us. That's where the battle gets even harder, from that wrong thinking. We believe because it feels like it has control over us. Because the control is so strong, it feels like we are in bondage to it. But what has the Lord told us so many times? It's not what we feel. The Word of God says it doesn't matter how strong this feels, how in much bondage you feel like you are not in bondage to it. It does not control you according to the Word of God. So if the Word of God is going to be our foundation, if it's going to be what we live by, then we have to stand in the truth, and we can no longer say things like, I can't help it. We just can't say that anymore. If this is what we believe, we just can't say that anymore. So let's go ahead and get into the text. Romans chapter 6. The title, Sin's Power is Broken. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we may also live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know that we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Verse 12, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Verse 14, sin is no longer your master. I want to stop right here for a second. Sin is no longer your master. It may feel like it. Y'all, I have plenty of things in my life where sin feels like it's my master. But if I'm going to stand on the Word of God and I'm going to live my life according to what it's saying, it doesn't. Sin is no longer your master. Fill in the blank there for yourself. Anger is no longer your master. Control is no longer your master. Pride is no longer your master. Jealousy, it's no longer your master. Gluttony, overeating, is no longer your master. Lust is no longer your master. Bitterness and unforgiveness is no longer your master. We need to hear that. We need to hear that those things are not our master. That's the truth of God's word. It may feel like it's our master, but it's not. Idolatry, the things that we put in the place of God, the things that we put before him in the wrong place, idolatry is not your master. Things that you've placed as an idol, I have mine. They're not my master. Praise God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean that we go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that you have become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? That's a key word, choose. What do we choose to obey? Choose. Because remember, it's not our master. We're not in bondage to it according to Romans 6. So a choice lies in there somewhere. You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God. Once you were slaves of sin, once I was a slave of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. When did we stop pursuing righteousness? It's a pursuit. We go after it. We chase after righteousness. Righteousness doesn't just happen. We are made righteous in our relationship with Christ, but the pursuit of righteousness, we've lost it. We've cowered down into this belief of, I'm not free yet, so I'm just going to keep staying here. I'm going to just keep staying in these same behavior patterns, these same unhealthy habits that I've had for 15 years because I don't have a choice. It's so strong. It has so much control. I don't have a choice, so I'm just going to stay here, bound up. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I am using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all of this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led you ever deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy. When you are slaves to sin, you are free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? This was my story. You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Jump over to chapter 8. I want to read verses 3. It said, the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He declared an end to sin's control. There's no middle ground here. You're not on a journey to freedom. It's been done. You're free. What do you feel like controls you right now? What do you feel like you're in bondage to? Can I tell you, according to Romans 6, you are not actually in bondage to it? It does not have the power to control you. When we really think about that, what is our position then looking at our sin? I'm not in bondage to you, says Romans 6. You do not have control over me, says Romans 6. I live by the Spirit in me. How does that position our fight? I feel like it gives us a lot more confidence. I feel like it gives us a lot more bravery. I feel like it gives us a lot more pursuit. When you know where you stand, when you know what your position is, you're able to fight from a different posture. And I feel like the Lord is saying, fight from the posture of the Word of God. Don't fight from these false ideas and thoughts. You're not on a journey to freedom, daughters. If you're in me, you're free. Stop living like you're on a journey towards it, that you're working towards it. So I said before that I felt like the Lord told me to, like Paul told Timothy, preach the gospel, to correct And then also to encourage. And guys, I want you to know my heart today. What I'm sharing with you, I have been walking through. I am walking through. This is so personal to me right now. Bondage and slavery to the things that I've been in bondage and slavery to since I was 5. The Lord is doing a work in me today, not 5 years ago, today. And this revelation, this renewing of my mind, of my position, of my freedom has changed the way that I see my sin. And that's freeing. That's freeing. So I want to share with you, I have a little slide of kind of like some pictures of me growing up. Yay, there we are. Okay. Y'all, I was a cute baby, wasn't I? I'm sorry. I look like my youngest Allie Bear. So I just wanted to encourage you. And as I was doing this, I thought, man, like, maybe you, at some point today or this week, you lay out some pictures of yourself. Because I think the Lord is so kind to speak to us at those different ages and stages. And sometimes we just need a visual of ourselves and seeing God's hand in our story that helps to bring healing. So I don't know, maybe this is something you would want to do later. I know it was healing for me and helpful. But I just want to share some of my sin struggles, some things that I wasn't in bondage to, keyword, I was choosing, because the Lord said once I was saved, I wasn't in bondage to it anymore. But some unhealthy just habits, behaviors, patterns that I felt like controlled me. And now I'm learning I allowed to control me. Difference in wording. Okay, so there's me as a little babe. The second picture, I think I was like 3 there, my mom said. I look just like my youngest daughter, Allie, right there. And can I encourage you? I have a heart for this. So many times we overlook these younger years. Can I please tell you that, like, that thoughts begin to form and patterns begin to form and lies begin to be planted and things happen at this age. So Lord, attune our ears to what is happening in our 2-year-old, our 3-year-old, our 4-year-old, our 5-year-old, and let's heed it. Let's not miss it. The Lord, I promise, I've prayed for it. Guys, God, give me eyes to see, and he will. He's so faithful to do that. So that was me at 3 or 4. That was me at my oldest daughter's age. I was probably like 6 or 7 there. And for me, at that age, that's when I started to struggle with food. I had a lot going on at home, and so I started to turn to food for just like comfort. Like it was and at the time, it's so crazy. You don't even realize what you're doing, and I think that's why all this stuff can be so tricky, because you don't know where it starts. Sometimes you don't know how you got to where you got. You just know you feel so entangled by this thing that you hate. But I think for me, it was a source of comfort. I remember when I was scared, I would eat. When I was sad, I would eat junk food, really, like sugar stuff. And so I think it really started then. And, you know, so even that, paying attention to what your kids are gravitating towards or leaning towards or habits that you're seeing, don't overlook them, because it may be their struggle in 20 years. Just now, I was 7 in that picture. I'll be 40 in May. And just now, just in the last 2 weeks, the Lord has freed me of that. The bondage of, I was free from the bondage, but I kept turning to food. That was it. I was upset, I'd eat. I was mad, I would eat. I was sad, I would eat. And just in the last couple weeks, praise God, through this revelation, I've learned it doesn't control me anymore. So then the next picture, I was a teenager there, which that's kind of like I have my heart's like mixed all over the place with that picture, because so I accepted Christ at 13, which, what did we learn from Romans 6 today? The moment we accept Christ, so I was free. 13, I was free from the bondage of sin. I was free from the control of sin, but then I chose to walk in sin. After that, starting about 15 to 19 were probably like the darkest, you know, years. I was in a lot of sin. I struggled a lot. Very lost. Very lost. That's why I have such a heart to work with the youth, because I'm like, just knowing where I was, even that picture, to get the honor just to love on a teenager for me is like the greatest gift I could ask for. And just being able to see past their behavior at that stage. I know when you're in it, and can I encourage you, if you're a mom and you've got a teenager and you're in it, I don't have teenagers yet, and you're seeing the day in, day out, the back talk, the this, the whatever, I can't say I get it because I don't get it, but just being with the teenagers, like, just take heart. Like, you would have never, my youth pastor, my whatever, would have never said when I was that age that I would be where I am today. Praise God. So he can do a work. Be encouraged. Be hopeful. Keep praying. Pray without ceasing for your teenagers. And just trust that it's not for naught. That he will honor it. So that was a very dark period. Very dark. And then the next one is of me in college, where that's where life shifted for me. That's when I started to actually walk in the freedom I'd already been given. I had this encounter with the Lord that, you've heard it said in scripture, sometimes we just have an encounter with him and it changes everything. That's all there was to it. It was a Saul-Paul moment. I encountered him in my dorm room by myself. Game changer, done, dropped the mic, changed, you know. That's kind of all there was to that story. I feel like he showed his love to me in a way that I know most of you can understand this feeling that you didn't feel like you deserve, all those things. And it was a powerful love, and it was a forgiving love, and it wrecked me. And so I started to chase wholeheartedly, full-heartedly after him. The next picture I was running, I was probably in my 20s there, and I feel like that's where I started to heal. I didn't get more free. I was already free. I think I just started healing more. I went and saw a counselor for some things, which the Lord used this woman in incredible ways to speak life and allow me to walk through things that I'd been through that I needed to walk through and revisit. And then my wedding day, which I say that's the day that I married what I feel like was God's tangible expression of his love towards me, my husband Troy, who there was a lot of healing that came through me marrying Troy. He was such a gift, and he loved me so well. So that was a layer of healing there. And then when I found out that I was pregnant with my first daughter, again, God's grace, more healing. And then this last picture is kind of the most recent, and this is when I feel like the Lord kind of showed me my struggle with anger that I feel like I've had for a while. But as you know, any of you know that who struggle with anger, it kind of just rears its ugly head at different times, and it's kind of like a beast. You can, like, tame it for a little bit, and it kind of sits quietly, and then it's like, ah! And then you're like, oh, there you are, you know, and then it's like, we're going to tame you for a bit, and then there it is again. So especially over the last probably 6 months, I feel like he has just revealed, exposed, and it's not been easy to see. It's not easy to see our sin. It's not easy, I know. But we've got to. If we want to get anywhere, we've got to. We've got to let him show it to us. We've got to let us see it. A lot of times we fight what we fear. We fight facing it because we fear how it's going to make us feel. We fear what we're going to have to do to get on the other side of healing. Can I encourage you? I think if we waited to when we weren't scared to do things, we wouldn't ever do anything. Sometimes you just gotta do it scared. And I've had to face my anger scared. I don't wanna see it. But for my kids, I wanna see it. For my husband, I wanna see it. Because I wanna start believing this, that I'm not controlled by my anger. I'm not in slavery or in bondage to my anger. I'm not. Scripture says, be angry and sin not. You can feel the emotion of anger. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, what you do with it is a different story. And the Lord has shown me the Spirit of God is able to control what comes out when you feel that anger. Period. Period. It doesn't matter the circumstance. It doesn't matter how hard it feels. It doesn't matter how strong the anger is. The Word of God says that it does not control us if we are believers in Christ. Can we please start believing that for the sake of our children, for the sake of our marriages? We just have to be willing to see it. We have to be willing to see it. We're so quick to see it in our kids. We're quick to see it in our husband. We're not as quick to see it in ourselves. We're not, because we fight what we fear. Can I encourage you not to fight it today, just to surrender to it? So in just a minute, I just want to give us some time just for confession and repentance. I believe that as we read Romans 6, we can't help but to feel his conviction of sin in our life. Praise God for that. And so I just want us to give us some time for you to be with the Father, to work through maybe what he has revealed, what he's allowing you to see in his love. Can I say that? In his love. Not in his condemnation, in his love. And repentance. Repentance, y'all, it's you're doing this and you do this. It's not a you do this. This way. My anger's got to go. I can't dabble with it anymore. I have two beautiful daughters who I pray become incredible women of God. My anger won't help that. It's got to go. Throw off every sin that entangles you. It doesn't say hold it as a purse. It says throw it off. But we need the Spirit of God to help us do that. We cannot do that in our flesh, but the Spirit is willing. We are not willing. The Spirit's waiting right there to help us on our behalf, but we are not willing. So a time of confession and repentance, we're going to be quiet. We're going to be still, because guess what, guys? Confession doesn't need an ambiance. Confession with the Father doesn't need candles lit. It doesn't need the right song playing. It needs you and the Father. That's it. That's it. So we're going to sit. You can have your time with the Lord. And then I've asked one of our students, her name is Carly. She's one of our juniors. She's 17. I've asked her to worship over us. There's not going to be words on the screen. We want you to sit and receive, just like this rain is pouring down right now. Receive. And the reason why I have Carly come, just happy you're here. I feel like it's selfish, but not, because y'all are going to be blessed by it too. But I feel like it's redemptive for my story, because Carly is 17. And when I look at her at 17, there's so many things that go through my mind. And I just want to testify of God's goodness and his faithfulness, because the Spirit has allowed me to be willing. That's all I've done, guys. I've been willing. I've taken my hands and I've allowed the Spirit to go like this with my anger, with my food, with my whatever it is. What's here for you? I've just ask the Spirit, Spirit, help me do this, and I've done it, and this is the fruit. The grace of God, the surrender, this is the fruit. And so I'm here, I'm standing, I'm sharing, I'm teaching, all by the grace of God, all by the Spirit's work in my life, because at 17, I was as lost could come. But praise be to God, he rescued me. Praise be to God, he set me on a different path. Praise be to God for repentance. A turning of ways. It wasn't a dabbling. It was a turning of ways. Where do you need to turn the way? Completely. And so as Carly sings, I just want to bless her. Because I feel like as a 17-year-old, and I know working with youth, there's just students who just need to be blessed. They're walking through some hard stuff. So just to bless you, Carly, would y'all just extend your hands to Carly? She's sitting right there. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for my sister, Carly. God, I thank you for your redemptive work in my life. I thank you for your work in Carly's life, and God, I pray your favor upon her. I thank you for her heart and her desire for righteousness, for her pursuit of righteousness, Father God. May you bless her. May you place a hedge of protection around her. May you use her for your glory, Father God. May she know how loved she is by you, and may that be her security. May that be her identity. May this word guide her feet all the days of her life. May she be so grounded in the word of God that she will know the truth of who she is. God, bless her. Bless her. In the name of Jesus. So Carly's going to come sing, and then when she's done, or no, we're going to take just a couple minutes, Joy, if that's okay. And then Carly's going to sing, and then Joy's going to come close us.
Say I believe.
ransomed me, and like a flood,
of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. The goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
I just want to take some time. I just want to open this space right here up as an altar. And if you need prayer, I just would love for you to come up here. If some of you are sitting and you don't see the goodness of God in your life or in your children, and you just want to just prayer, like just I just believe there is power in us walking and confessing that we need prayer. So Jessica, if you'll just continue just to play for a little bit, and Carly, if you want to sing something over, I just want you to come down here, and there will be some people, leaders, you know, to just walk around and behind you and pray over you. If you're proclaiming and declaring that your 17-year-old will be doing this, and you don't see your 17-year-old doing this, I would invite you to come down and just to stand in proxy for your child. There's power in that. Standing in proxy that God, my child, though they are not, they will. They will declare the goodness of God in the land that they are going to be living in. If you're just struggling in your marriage, I don't know what it is, but I just want to invite you down as they sing. I want to invite you down. I want you, if you need to lay down, if you need to just stand, people will come around and pray for you. And if you don't need prayer, if you're good, then I would suggest that you just pray for your sisters, because these are your sisters. These are not just strangers. You may not know them, but they're your sisters. So I don't want to rush through response. I don't ever want to rush through that. We do not in our churches give enough time for people to respond to the work that the Lord does. We're going to do it today. If we're here till 5 o'clock tonight, I don't care. We're going to let God work. So we're just going to let them sing. And if you need prayer, if you want to come down, if you don't, if you want to make your chair an altar, pray there. However you need to respond to what God has done. The Lord spoke heavily to me. He said, moms who know they are liberated will be able to move their children to understand their liberation. Do you know you are liberated? You are liberated. Janice just gave us the word of God that gives us the authority to say, I am liberated. Mamas who know they are liberated will more easily lead their children to an understanding that they are liberated as well. So please come as the Spirit leads, and then leaders will pray for you, and then I'll just come and close the time as we feel the Spirit leading us to close the time.
You split the sea so I could walk right through it. perfect love.
Jesus,
you rescued me, so I will stand and sing. I am a child of God. You split the sea so
I want to read Hebrews 12. Janice referenced it. You're still just praying, just still pray. So since we stand surrounded by all those who've gone before, an enormous cloud of witnesses, let us drop every extra weight, every sin that clings to us and slackens our pace. And let us run with endurance the long race set before us. Now stay focused on Jesus, who designed and perfected our faith. He endured the cross and ignored the shame of that death because he focused on the joy that was set before him. And now he is seated beside God on the throne, a place of honor. So many of you moms, I just saw in the spirit that when you get up and walk away, you're leaving your husband right here. You're leaving your child right here. You're leaving your anger, your disappointment, your grief, some of you are leaving, you just don't understand why. I just see in the spirit just this altar just filled with things that have slackened our pace, that have weighed us down. So I just want to encourage you, moms, as you leave this holy ground, this space, this altar of remembrance, that as they would do so often in the Old Testament, they would set up altars to remember something that God did. As you leave this altar, just dedicate yourself to not pick back up whatever it was you laid down there. Because you just unloaded, you just took your, you know, Matthew 28, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You just unyoked yourself here do not in 2 hours yoke yourself back up. Just by the Spirit and the power of God in through you, leave whatever you have left here, leave it here. When Abraham bound Isaac, he had to bind up his hands and his legs and his feet, and then he had to take his hands off and leave that sacrifice there. So just see yourself leaving whatever it was that you have been burdened with. Just see yourself leaving it here. Don't pick it back up. Don't pick it back up. Don't pick it back up. So God, we thank you for what you've done. God, and I pray Ephesians 1, verse 17 through 19 over every one of these ladies. Over the work you're doing in and through them that then will translate to their marriage and to their mothering, to their places of influence. God, you're starting this work. You're sanctifying us. Continue to do that, Jesus. But don't let us for another second believe what is not true about us. Sanctify our flesh, yes, but renew our mind. Solidify, re-wallpaper our mind with the truth that we are liberated through the cross of Christ. Let us not go back another day thinking that we are entangled, because you and your cross have set us free. So God of our Lord Jesus, the anointed Father of glory, I call out to you on behalf of your people. Give us minds ready to receive wisdom and revelation so that we will truly know you. Open the eyes of our hearts and let the light of your truth flood in. Shine your light on the hope you are calling us to embrace. Reveal to us the glorious riches you are preparing as our inheritance. Let us see the full extent of your power that is at work in those of us who believe. And may it be done, God, according to your might and according to your power. In Jesus' name, solidify this today in us. Solidify this truth in us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. I never know what to do in situations like this. I always feel like, God, should we just sit here and worship some more? But let's go. I want to get you to your small groups, because I do believe that there's things to be talked about in your small group. And if you still need to talk, if you need to talk to Janice, is here. I'm here. Jessica's here, Carly's here. If you want to just say, tell me, how are you living in high school? How are you living out your faith? Just whatever you need. If God's not done yet, just don't rush. I don't ever want to rush these moments for the sake of a schedule. Y'all, we do that too much. We will not do that at Moms with Swords. We will not. If God's not done, if you need to linger longer, linger. If he's not done, don't rush to your small group. And if you need to talk to somebody, please do. But if he's closed the door, you feel like you're good, go. But if you need to linger longer, please do it. We'll put some worship music on. Jessica, myself, Carly, Janice, any of these leaders, they got to get to their small groups, but there's plenty of us to go around if you need to just talk or have a personal prayer time. So we love you. We'll see you next week. Thank you.